Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. We are wrapping up our week at the end of our week, going through a few verses. We just made it through a few verses, as usual, of 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is just such a fantastic section of scripture. It's inspiring, it's convicting, it's instructional. And as we talked about at the beginning of this week, because last week we talked about cultivating our oil of intimacy, cultivating that oil and cultivating intimacy with Christ is not just a matter of like sitting and being like, okay, God, let's be intimate, or like, I feel a lot from you. Great. Now I feel like we're intimate. But the church fathers, Augustine and some others, talked about that oil in the lamps of the 10 virgins as the oil of charity. And so there's this way in which the oil of intimacy is that time of being with the Lord, of allowing the countenance of his face to shine upon you. And then also to go out in your life, and you complete it, you cultivate it by acting in charity, by obeying him, by living in his authority. And what we see in this section from scripture that we're reading is that Paul is instructing Timothy on how to live in suffering, on how to live in persecution, on really, in a really practical way, how to continue to cultivate that oil when there's false teaching, when there's temptation, when people don't like you, when people reject you. And an amazing thing that we read yesterday that is so convicting, friends, is he said, if you want to live a godly life, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. And it's not like we go out looking for it. We don't go out and be like, where's my persecution? But if we commit our way to the Lord, there will be suffering, there will be persecutions, there will be setbacks, and we cannot have the expectation that we will get everything we want in this life. I was talking to my sister about this the other day, and we were talking about the reality that so often we live our life with all these expectations for God, and we're like, well, I gave my life to you, and I pray every day, so why don't I have the boyfriend I want, or why don't I have these things in my life that I want, you know, like, why isn't my job easier, why isn't these relationships easier, why are these things going wrong, as opposed to receiving and being like, the reality is Jesus Christ has saved me from sin and death. God the Father has sent his Son into the world to rescue me from sin and death, to give me an eternal hope. He has sent his Holy Spirit upon me to live a transformed life, that I may look like him, walk like him, talk like him, and live a new life in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I may be with him forever. This is what God has given me. God owes me nothing. He doesn't owe me a life without suffering. He doesn't owe me a life without persecution. He does not owe me that. And to follow him, friends, and I'm going to get into the scriptures, I promise, to follow him, there will be a cost. There will. And for each of us, the cost in each of our lives is going to feel great. It's not going to feel small. You will feel that cost. And you may look at other people's lives and be like, they're not paying a cost. I promise you, if they're genuinely following the Lord, they are paying a cost. But it might not seem like a high cost to you, but it's a high cost for them. And remember, I was praying this week just about that cost and about what we face when we follow the Lord. And I was like, Lord, I don't know if I can pay the cost that you're asking me to pay. It's hard. It's too high. I just want to live a normal life. I want a little house with a white picket fence and a finance bro and just like a simple life and a lake house and all. Not saying that stuff is bad at all, but it's like, I was just like, I want sometimes a worldly life, a worldly life. And I was just listening to this song, and the song was saying, you know, not my will, Lord, but yours be done. And this phrase kept coming up saying, you don't lose when you surrender. You can't lose when you surrender. And so, friends, it's an encouragement not to go out and seek persecution, but to say, I can't lose when I surrender to God's plan for my life. So I'm not looking for suffering. I'm not looking for persecution, but I am surrendered to it. I am surrendered to the way that he's working. I am surrendered to him. So just surrender to that. We're going to read a couple verses of Psalm 118 as we pray, and then get into a few more verses of our passage. Psalm 118 and 119, which we're going to do tomorrow, they're very long. Psalm 119 especially. So I'm just going to pick a couple paragraphs as we pray. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. When hard pressed, I cried to the Lord. He brought me into a spacious place. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? The Lord is with me. He is my helper. I look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of the Lord I cut them down. They swarmed around me like bees, but they were consumed as quickly as burning thorns. In the name of the Lord I cut them down. I was pushed back and about to fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my defense, and he has become my salvation. Lord, we give thanks to you, for you are good. We give thanks to you. Help us to develop gratitude, even in persecution, even in suffering, that everything that we receive from you is far greater than what you will ask of us, what you give us. The gifts that you give us, how you give us yourself, what we receive from you is far, far greater than what you will ever ask from us. We thank you, Lord. We give you our gratitude. We give you our hearts. We give you our lives. Amen. I love that. And that can be kind of a mantra, friends. Remember, we talked about that mantra. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Say that today when you're thinking about, okay, like, I have these thoughts in my head. I need to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. What should I say? What should I say? Say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Say it over and over and over again. His love endures forever. Amen. Amen. Okay, let's get into a couple more verses in 2 Timothy 3. I'm going to pick up where we left off in verse 12. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceivers and deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so Paul's saying, he's saying, Be ready to be persecuted. All those who wish to live a godly life will be persecuted. We heard that word yesterday. That's hard. And then he's saying those who are deceived will become more deceived. If they stay in their deception, they will become more deceived. The deception will compile over and over and over again. And so then he's saying, okay, look, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying this hard word that all those who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. That's a hard word. But again, he's saying, what do you then do? What do you do when persecution comes upon you? I love that next sentence. He's saying, continue. But as for you, remember, he's saying, take care of your side of the street. You can't control what other people do. You can't control what the world does. You can't control what the Vatican does. You can't control what those ministries do. You can't control what people on social media are doing. You can't control what the person you don't like does. You can't control it. You can't control your sufferings. You can't control those who are persecuting you. You can't control those who are being deceived. All you can do is witness and preach the gospel and love them. And then he says, as for you, what should you do? Continue. Keep on going. Keep on going. And not just continue, but continue on in what you have learned. What have you learned? What have you learned from my teaching, Timothy? As you lead this church, I know it's chaotic. I know it's frantic. I know you're suffering. I know people are rejecting you. I know it's hard. But as for you, continue on in what you learned. What did you learn? You learned the gospel of Jesus Christ. You learned humility. You learned how to give the word. Remember, he says, what did you learn? You observed my teaching, my conduct, my aim of life. You learned how to teach. You learned how to walk. You learned what the goal of life should be. Remember what Paul says his goal in life is to be poured out like a libation so he can earn the crown of righteousness. He's saying, hold on to that. Continue in what you have learned. And what you have learned is this, that although you are afflicted, although you are walking in suffering, although the powers of darkness are coming against you who is a new creation, although it feels like the dominion of darkness is winning, I am preparing for you. This is what God says. I am preparing for you an eternal weight of glory that is to come. When you're redeemed, when I come again in glory to get you, I will give you a crown of righteousness. This is what you have learned. And he's saying, continue on in this, not in the deceptions of the world that will lie to you, that will say, hey, it's easier to just follow worldly pleasures. Those who are in the world, their life isn't that hard. They have money, they have power, they have pleasure, they have sex, they have all this kind of stuff. Just follow the world. Give up this God thing. It's too hard. The cost is too high. He's saying, don't give in to the deceptions. Hold fast to what you have learned and have firmly believed. Firmly. You have firmly believed this, knowing from whom you have learned it. So remember, I taught you. I walked with you. I'm trustworthy. And the one who taught it to me, Jesus, he's even more trustworthy. He's trustworthy in what he's taught. In what he's given you. And so you not only hold fast to the teaching, but we hold fast to the one who has taught it. And we continue on believing because we have learned this. And how from your childhood, you have been acquainted with sacred writings. We're going to talk more about the scriptures tomorrow and the authority in the scriptures that Paul's going to write about in these last few verses. But he's saying this, saying, I know it's hard. Timothy, you're leading a big church. You got a lot of responsibility. You're discipling a lot of people. But as for you, you who are following Christ, what have you observed from me? Remember, what were my teachings? What was the aim of life? How did we suffer together? How did you see me respond in suffering? Hold fast to what you have learned, to the hope that is coming to you. And don't be distracted by the weight of the persecution. Do not slow down. Remember a couple days ago, we said, stop looking at other people. Stop just sitting around and criticizing the world. Stop sitting around and criticizing the church. He's saying, as for you, take care of yourself. Make the aim of your life to receive the crown of righteousness. Make the aim of your life the same as mine. I want to be in such a place where I'm inviting people to say, look at the aim of my life. I want you to join me and let's have the same goal in life together. Say, as for you, continue on. Just keep going. Amen. Join me again tomorrow as we wrap up this week on 2 Timothy chapter 3.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.